Happy Earth Day. I haven't really been too tuned into the news, but yesterday I realized that it was the 50th anniversary of Earth Day today. So may we offer our attention and our love and our appreciation for the great earth body of breath and water and nourishment. This great earth body that is in fact our body and whose health depends on our health and upon whose health we depend. So I hope that as you shelter in place, as we're all doing, that somehow you are letting yourself touch the great earth body. We're so fortunate here in Santa Cruz to live near the Monterey Bay, where we can just step out our doors and we can smell the ocean, where we can see so many birds. I don't know what's going on around your house, but the crows are nesting here and the hummingbirds are zooming and the gulls are wheeling, and it's just so beautiful. The grass is pushing out in the everywhere in the road. I hope that you're finding ways to lay your body down on the earth somehow, even here as we are indoors so much. I hope that you're plunging your fingers into the earth. And welcome to more people who are coming in as I'm paying homage right now to the great earth body as we celebrate this 50th anniversary of Earth Day. Probably some of the people on the screen weren't even alive back then. So maybe you can just even close your eyes right now for a moment and just touch into your own body that is absolutely, completely connected with the great earth body of the trees. The oxygen in our breath comes from the breathing of the leaves in the trees. And the water in our tissues is the same as the great ocean. The circulation of your blood is the blood of the earth body. Our greatest and oldest ancestor, who needs our love now more than ever. So you, if you have your eyes closed, can open your eyes. And there's another body that I would like to celebrate tonight with you. And that is the Sangha body. So look around on this screen for a moment. This strange way that we touch each other right now on these screens. And yet if we open our hearts and actually look at each other, can we just feel into knowing, I know you, I know you. Each of us with our joys and our sorrows and our fears and our hopes in this potent, strange time. Many of us miss coming to the Zendo, miss the human contact, the intimacy that we share in our practice, the intimacy of breathing together in that beautiful room, the way that we know, even without looking, who's coming through the door. If you've sat any length of time with a group of people, we start knowing each other's footsteps, and we start knowing each other's breath, and we start knowing each other's little snorfling noises and our coughs, and the way we shift on our cushion, the way we move together during service. And many of us also miss the hugs. Not everybody hugs, but many of us do out out in the garden, out on the porch, and occasionally inside the Zendo. So I was thinking and feeling tonight about this Sangha practice that we have, and I thought that rather than talking at you about practice, that I would like to create a ceremony and an experience together here that we could actually share practice a little bit this evening. So I have some ideas about how to do that. And the ceremony that I've created for us, that I have in mind, is a ceremony to express appreciation for our ancestors. And particularly, ancestors who we experience supporting us in our challenging times. So this could be an ancestor from the Zen tradition or the Buddhist tradition before Zen, an ancestor who you read or study, who you feel close to, whose words inspire or encourage you. Or this could be a historical ancestor. Sometimes in times like these, we find ourselves inspired by reading about those who have gone through such times before in the past and who've written and shared their wisdom with us about how to do this, how to be human together in such times. Or maybe it's a person that you actually knew, that you actually had the fortune to have in your life. A teacher, a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor, a friend, somebody who you have known and who taught you and guided you in your time of need. May they share with us their compassion, which fills the boundless universe with the virtue of their enlightenment and teachings. Buddhas and ancestors of old were as we. We in the future shall be Buddhas and ancestors. Revering Buddhas and ancestors, we are one Buddha and one ancestor. Awakening Bodhi mind, we are one Bodhi mind. Because they extend their compassion to us freely and without limit, we are able to attain Buddhahood and let go of the attainment. So I'm going to, in a moment, invite you to open to the compassion of an ancestor of your choosing to connect with this evening, and we'll have some ceremony together to share and learn from each other's ancestors. But before doing that, I wanted to just share a personal, bit of personal writing that I did soon after I received Dharma transmission from Reverend Patrick some years ago. Because this was a ceremony primarily about honoring the ancestors. Every day we would say each of their names, and we would do a full prostration and ring the bell, and we would do this twice a day. We would grind ink with an ink stone, and we painted their names on numerous silk, numerous pieces of silk. And I wrote this piece, and it is something that I'd like to offer into this ceremony tonight of honoring ancestors. One evening, I was walking along, making the incense offering round. It was raining. My attendant was holding a large umbrella over the two of us. I just had this strong body, mind, heart, spirit realization that I was the inkstone. Buddha's teaching was the water. And this process was grinding us together. And the ink was what we do with our lives. It was a visceral experience of literally being ground into the Buddha Dharma, a feeling of just completely giving our lives to one another. This is what our ancestors did for us. They gave us their lives. And this is what we can do for each other every day. For the people who you might be seeing on the screen, for the people you might be seeing walking by on the street or in the store with our masks on, if you live with someone, that person, this is what we can do for each other, give each other our lives. The whole experience became a beautiful ritual of honoring. And I thought, honoring what? Honoring every life. Hundreds of years later, here I am saying your name, ancestor. Some of you were great, and some of you, there aren't even stories about you, but I'm still saying your name because you lived a life dedicated to awakening with all beings, and I thank you for that. So maybe these times now are grinding us all into some kind of ink. And I deeply hope that when the times shift, we can do something with this ink that we've all been grinding. Something that could make a difference for the great body of Earth and all beings. So our ceremony will have three parts. And here's part one. I'm just presuming everybody can hear me okay. Can you just raise your hand and okay, so thanks. It took me a while to realize I should check on that. Okay, here's part one of the ceremony. You're going to do it all by yourself. You can close your eyes if you want or leave them open. It's okay. Please, right now, consider who is an ancestor, Buddhist, historical, or a real person in your life whose teaching and guidance you found to be particularly helpful for you in a challenging time. Just see if you can locate, name, feel your way into who you would like to connect with and appreciate this evening. And just inside you, think that. Find that. What was the teaching? What was the guidance that this person offered to you? And what difference did this make in your life? So now you can, if you have your eyes closed, you could open them, and I'm going to tell you about part two. Part two is that in a minute, not quite yet, because I'm going to give you some instructions, Jean is going to push a button and you will magically go to a special room with just you and one other person. And it's going to be selected randomly. We're not sitting here designing who's going to go with who. This magic button, you push it and pow, there you'll be with one other person in your own magical room somewhere in the Buddha sphere. And here's what's going to happen in this place where you go. The person with the longest hair will go first. And you will share to your, with your partner, you'll introduce them. You'll say, this is the ancestor who really made a difference for me. Tell that person their name. this is what they taught me, and this is the difference that they made in my life. And then the shorter-haired person, you're listening, just ask a couple of questions to help your partner deepen their experience. Maybe they say something that you're curious about. So ask more. Don't talk about yourself. Put all your attention on them and just learn a little bit about who was this person, this ancestor that made a difference for your partner, the one with the longer hair. You'll have a few minutes to do that, and then you'll magically get a little sign from me that says, please switch. And then the shorter haired person, you will then share about your ancestor and what they taught you and the difference it made in your life. And your partner will ask you a couple questions just to understand a little bit more deeply, feel a little bit more intimate with this person who made a difference for you in your life. And then you'll get a 1 minute time signal, and then it'll be time to come back into the large group, and then we'll do part three. Welcome back. Let's unmute everybody.
It was difficult.
That
was not working so well.
Hello.
That worked great.
So maybe different ones of us had different experiences. Some of us just popped right into a little room with one other person. Some of us popped in with three. Some of us were alone and then got put in a room. Some of us never quite found our way to a room. So that's life.
Is anyone still
life is
out there?
And everybody's back now. Who wants to be back? And so I lit a candle here, and in honor of now being able to learn about, oh, Michael did come back. There he goes.
Unspeakable content can be found on the screen. My video, playing Shakti Bell's video, active speaker video, Shakti Bell, Santa Cruz Zen Center, Jane Honey.
Hi, Shakti.
We got two Shaktis.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God.
One of them's a robot.
Wow. That's
a much better background.
Have you had this much fun, like, in a month? No. I mean, this is...
No. I really like that.
You did it, Gabby.
So here's the thing. I would love to, you probably shared more with the person you were with, but if in a ceremonial way, we could each take a turn and just say the name of your person and, just like one sentence, this is what I learned and this is the difference that it made in my life. And just go person after person after person. I think I'll call on you, because then there won't be awkward silences. And if you don't wish to share, if you had a different experience and you'd rather just keep it personal, that's completely fine. You can just bow and I'll go to the next person. And we'll enter, considering this a ceremonial space. Imagine we're all standing together. We're in the Zendo. We're there right now. And you have a bell. We'll ring the bell and we'll start with Christine.
All right. Well, of course, I don't have one particular person. I was telling Martha, I've been listening to Zoom recorded talks on the women ancestors from Upaya Zen Center, and all just everyone that they've been talking about, it's been so inspiring. So that's who I would say, kind of a bunch of people, all those people from the very beginning who kind of bucked their traditions and lived their spiritual lives. And I thought that was really inspiring.
Yarrow.
Martha Ann Douglas, my mother,
I think from what I could tell, I didn't know her that much as an adult because she died when I was in my mid-20s. But she kind of accepted life on its own terms and kind of bucked a lot of her conditioning and her upbringing to do something completely different, became a social worker, and managed to raise four daughters on her own and with mental health issues. And just she was a very strong woman and wouldn't have been fazed by this thing going on.
Deborah.
My grandmother Rose, who was a Southern Belle Kuan Yin, and she epitomized grace, dignity, and selflessness.
Ziggy.
My good friend Ken Kramer, who passed away this last year, who taught me a lot about genuine dialogue.
Liz.
I was recalling how beneficial it was to experience Tenshin Roshi's teaching at Tassajara during certain practice periods. In those practice periods, I really responded to his teaching and found my own kind of heart of practice and fun exploring my own mind and kind of sense of self.
Martha.
What came to mind, first I thought of redwoods, and then I thought maybe I needed a human. So then I chose Chöngpa Rinpoche, and I was inspired by the adversity that he faced and having to travel to get to safety from the Chinese and from China and then reinventing himself, and the Lojong teachings I've been studying, and so that's one thing that I learned.
Shakti, are you able to unmute yourself? And if you'd like to share about somebody in your life who has helped you in difficult times.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I can't see anybody because my video preview won't go away.
We can see you and we can hear you.
Good. I wasn't sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sitting in here in my room with my altar, and Reverend Steve Stuckey, my Ogen, is there. And he taught me, he was sort of my gateway into the Zen practice. He used to have a little Zendo in his backyard that I would go to, regularly. And, so that was a really important piece of my spiritual development.
Right. Thank you. Lori.
I chose Teresa of Avila, who was a tough, charming, charismatic, outspoken woman who was a leader in a non-aggressive way, but didn't get pushed around in a manner that I would like to be.
Patrick.
Well, I looked at Hung Zhe, one of our Chinese teachers a few generations before Dogen, who really taught about the non-duality of heart and mind with great poetry, and maybe that was itself the merging of heart and mind is poetry.
Sandra.
I chose my late husband, Jim McCann, and what he gave to me was experiences of deep intimacy and unconditional love.
Nettie. But you're, yeah, there you go. Okay, good.
I picked a shark that, there's a type of shark that lives in the Arctic and it lives for like hundreds of years. And they found one that's 400 years old. And just the thought that a creature has been aware of the present moment for 400 years just is pretty inspiring.
Michael.
Oh, me? Well, I had some connection problems, so I that's why you haven't seen me in and out. But if I were part of that chat room, my Aunt Em, who was my dad's sister, my dad died when I was six. She became a she was a very principled, what they called an old maid school teacher, but she just lived by her principles and was very grounding for me then. So, that's held my stead, I hope, for all these many years since, my Aunt Em.
Tracy.
It was two people at one time, which is when Mako Vogel, the head teacher at the Austin Zen Center, was giving a Dharma talk there, and she was speaking from the Marrow of Zen talk that Suzuki Roshi gave. And Suzuki Roshi, Mako asked, as I was sitting there in a lot of distress around life, the great matter, he asked, what's more real, you or your problems? And that just cut right through to where there were tears in my eyes. That, oh, and the distress and the, and all that just, oh, yes, right. Yes, me, here, now, that's real. And I knew later who was being spoken to, that one who doesn't move, that one who is not distressed. That was a great teaching. That never left me, has never left me. And I was thinking later what you read at the beginning of this ceremony, Kathy, about that one day when we're writing our stories of the Buddhas and ancestors that we will be.
Yes. Thank you. Rachel, you're called Santa Cruz Zen Center.
Yes, I was trying to avoid that. I chose the ancestor who's responsible for the Diamond Sutra because that's the only thing that I've ever kind of, the only thing in word form that I've seen that can take the edge off of death.
Who is owner? Would you like to speak? You don't have to.
Okay. While you were showing up on a different screen, Kathy, it said Kathy Toldy for a while.
Oh, yes. That's because I did Zazen in another room on my computer, and I'm using Gene's computer because he knows how to do breakout groups.
So I'm wondering if owner...
Is that you then?
I left the meeting.
No, that's not true.
It's somebody. It's a mysterious creature. Jean, would you like to share? Do you have an ancestor?
Oh, the person who came to mind is a high school teacher. 50 years ago, in my sophomore year of high school, Maria Eitz handed me a book in religion class, and that book is called A Flower Does Not Talk. And the first chapter of that book is Zazen instruction. So I began the turning at age 15. That's 50 years ago. Scary.
Wow. Well, thank you all for creating a Zoom ceremony together and honoring Sangha, hearing each other's voices, maybe feeling a little bit of each other's hearts as we hear each other's voices and see each other's faces, having an opportunity to go into a magic room with one or two other people and play around a little bit with this technology, and to celebrate Earth Day together, the great body of the great Mother Earth, who holds us, always has, and always will, whether we're here or not. She's bigger than all of our little conniptions.